Good singing all the way around. That's just been a blessing from on high. Is our voice still sleeping? That's a good deal. That's the way I like it. Uh-huh. Good job. Good singing. And it's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 27. And Matthew chapter 27, if you find a place you're able to stand, we're going to be looking there in about verse number 12. All right, Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 12. Let's just back up to verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, watch this, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things that they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder, we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while a sermon that's entitled, Sometimes the Best Response is No Response at All. Sometimes the best response that you can get, and there's going to be many of them that'll come your way in life. Sometimes the best thing you can do is say never a word. You know, I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that we live in a world that somehow or another, over there in the book of Galatians, he said something about it in Galatians chapter 5. It's in about verse number 13. He mentioned and he said, For brethren, we have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now he's talking to a church at Galatia. And he's talking about that they're to not be full of envy and strife and division and all of that. For in verse 14, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a hard task. You know why? Because we love ourselves real good. If probably we'd take an honest poll this morning, and you can't be honest. And so no need to be making you lie before God. But if I were to give you, you could find a lot wrong with anybody and everybody besides yourself. See that? And I've got to be honest with you, whenever I get somebody to try to help me, I always try to get somebody that's going to be on my side and that's going to slant it my direction. In this lesson here that we're looking at, you're going to find is that in verse number 15, he said, But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Now, I want to tell you something. It's real good to be able to bite, and or real easy to be able to bite and to devour one another, especially down at the house of God. Now, it's one thing that if you got some kind of axe to grind, and you got an axe to grind about people on the job, about people in a school, about people, that's one thing. But if you've got somebody you need to raise hell with down at the house of God, I'm your man. Get it? You getting it? If you've got somebody you want to start something with, I'm the man. The buck stops right here. Now, I want to tell you, whenever you do, it causes me problems. I'm not worried about what it is your beef is or what your problem is or how bad you are and how mad you get. I'm not worried so much about that. My question to you is, how are we going to fix it? Isn't it amazing how the people have always got to complain about something, but they don't have an answer for it? I've seen people that wanted me to side with them over their buddy, but until they fell out with their buddy. I wish I'd have stayed at home. I know y'all wished I had too, but still and all. It's a nasty task, and somebody's got to do it. Why do you think God puts that, while you turn to Ephesians in chapter number 4, why do you think God brings that up like that he's done it? And in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30, Here's what he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, why in the world do you think that he says that the way that he says that? In verse number 30, when he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, why do you think God says that? Do you not know that the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to take him, it's going to take his enlightenment, it's going to take his drawing power to bring a sinner to repentance? If you're full of hell and raising Cain all the time, you think the Spirit of God is going to work in your midst and in your church or in your life? No. See, there's a lot of times is that we're wondering what in the world's God doing and all that. God's trying to figure out what you're doing. He's trying to get you, he already knows, but he's trying to get you to figure out what you're already doing. In this lesson that's here, I'm thinking about, you know, and here the other day is, Brother David. Boy, he taught a great Sunday school lesson on harmony and fellowship and all that in the church. And I'm telling you, less than 24 hours later, you'd think nobody's heard that at all. I tell you something, is that when they're sinners that you and I ought to be concerned about and dealing with, and they've got enough problems of their own that you and I are going to have to deal with because they don't know how to deal with them. Listen, do you realize, though, that every now and again people I know, we've got a young lady that's missing this morning. She'll be back in later on. She's got a nervous tick as bad as I ever seen. I love her to death, and she's my friend. Don't you dare breathe a word of any of that. She may be listening by and all that. But let me tell you right now, I'm her friend. She's mine. And whether she ever comes to know the Lord or not, I'm hoping that we'll get to see that one day, her giving her to Christ and see what I'm talking about? But you know, that's not going to happen if you're busy showing you're full of hell and showing yourself to be full of meanness and bitterness and devilment. And how do you explain that to a Christian? Oh, yeah, well, here's where you have to act. You need to follow Jesus until you can't tell where he's at and then follow me. Well, does the Lord care about us doing that? Yeah. Yeah, he does. I got to tell you, I read some old notes and letters that I got this past week, and I didn't read very far, and they done told three lies on me. I should have just went and give them a good butt whooping is what should have been happening. But that's not the Christian thing to do. You know, I'm telling you every now and again, the two words you ought to remember, one of them is, you ought to remember, I'm sorry. And boy, let me tell you right now is, and thank you. We've lost that in the day and hour that we're living in. And I want to tell you right now, when you come down to the house of God, here's the reason why, that God no doubt sets it in order. You may have to do some things on your job or out in the field or all that. You may have to get bold with some people up and down the road, and that's one thing. And you may have to get some attacker off of you. That's another thing. But when you bring trouble down to the house of God, that's going to be another story. See what I'm talking about? I'm going to tell you, when you attack the household of faith, dear friend, now, do I have to like everybody in this building right here? No, but I have to be Christian to them. See that? Jackson knows. You don't have to like everybody and putty up with everybody in the church of the living God, but you have to be a Christian with your dealings or you'll be in trouble with the Lord. You know, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that we've got a kind of a pick and choose. You know, the Bible said we got enemies that are without. That's one thing to deal with. And we got enemies that are within. That's another thing to deal with. Of course, I'm old age now, as you well know, and I don't like it one dad blame bit. But I want to tell you something, make no mistake about it, all these boys and girls that God blessed us with that have been born to our family. It was a real easy job when you were little tots. But now you're grown women and grown, some of them grown men. See, I ain't dealing with babies anymore. Now I'm having to deal with you, and if you're not careful, I hope it ain't your sassy mouth with it, but I've got to deal with you now, and you're grown. It's awful quiet in here, but I mean, in this Bible lesson, the Bible said is that you'd better be careful about being partial one to another. You know, somebody comes in, and you don't give them the same treatment that you give everybody else. That's being partial in yourselves, and God's looking and God's listening. I want to say to you that we've got enemies that are without. We've got enemies that come within. And what's wrong with that is that they grow up to become an enemy if you're not careful. Now, you know what the real problem is most of the time in the church of the living God, especially in small church? I know a lot of people tell me, I'm never going to a small church again. Well, get out then. Get out and go someplace big where they don't know you and you can't track and show you down. God still knows who you are, what you're doing. But let me just say to you that if you will, you know what one of the big problems that we've got right here? The big problem that we have among ourselves and among our family is jealousy. Now, I'm not going to call anybody's name in here, but like, and all for sudden we see somebody, you know, is snooty to somebody because they know how to sing. Brother Nathan brought that out this morning Sunday school. And as a result of that, you think, boy, that's bad for them. No, no. No, they may not like you. They may like you even less because you know how to sing and play an instrument. I guess they think they're smart because they can play an instrument. No, they don't think nothing. They practice, practice, practice to learn how to play an instrument. It's not by sitting around and being jealous and being envious of anybody. Somebody said, are you talking about me and my kids? No, but somebody is. Yeah, somebody is. Yeah. Right, nobody's talking. The only people that I know, they're not talking about, well, Jade, he's not being talked about. They don't know him well enough. That's all right, buddy. Come on around, hang a little bit, and let us learn. Son, we'll go to, yeah, we'll talk about you, son. Because that's what we do. We pray upon each other. And then wonder why God don't answer our prayer. See what I'm saying? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that we're full of jealousy and envy and strife and division and contention. And let me tell you right now is that if you wonder if somebody's in talking about you, if you're doing anything for God, they are. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, is that you'll find that where there's envy and strife and division, there's every evil work. And God's not going to move in our midst like that. Now, I got to say to you that if you will, please, is that whenever you look into the Bible, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were accusing him of a lot of things. And you're going to find out that whenever Pilate wanted to know, and he asked him, and he says, don't you want to say anything? Aren't you going to answer anything? The best answer was no answer, and he answered not even a word. You know what that does? When somebody has showed their behind, both butt cheeks, by the way, when somebody has gone to that extent and you don't answer a word, they can't stand it. I got to say to you that if you will, I worked with an old boy one time. And if you're not careful, you'll be like this guy here. And somebody doesn't answer you because you're ranting and raving and all of that, and they follow the example of Christ. And then you get mad. Oh, they're cowards. Hold it a minute. Just hold on a minute. I work with an old boy. Here's the answer. He doesn't even know God. Didn't even know the Lord. Don't even want to know him. He said, let me tell you something, preacher. If you ever have to take off running after somebody, and they take off running and they outrun you a little bit, don't try to catch up with them. The worst whipping I ever got was by somebody I thought was going to run from me. I got bolder and bolder and faster and faster. I would to God, he had to call somebody to help get me up and carry me home. Don't always think that you're in the macho business because that you. Now right now, there's old Brother Sam, you know, he's had his appendix out. He's not going to be able to work for a while. You know why? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why and why he ought to get a hold of that himself. It's because first thing you know, the devil would send some big old fat-looking woman or man, and he'd have to wrestle that dude down. Doctors already told him not to be picking up anything heavy. Well, I couldn't help it. They was attacked. That's why you got to take off. See what I'm talking about? And if not, then later on we'll be saying, I told you so. When you grew up in this church as an infant, and I look around, you know, and I can remember when some of you I'm talking about was just newborn. In fact, I've been here 31 years. If you're under 30, if you've been here all that time and you're under 31, I was here and there at the hospital waiting on you to get born. I went to get my driver's license renewed the other day. They're not due till January. I walk in there, and there's a couple of big, pretty good size. They're black women. I just happened to be working there. No reflection, pun intended, one way or the other. And she, you got an appointment? I said, no, ma'am, I don't. I'm Samuel Anderson's son. Well, we can't help you then. And she said, I tell you right now, child, you'd have done better off when you saw him, left him at the hospital. Who was it? Addison was taking her driving test, came back. She said, I think that's my Uncle Sam. She said, you just failed. And they cut up and went on. We had a great time and a good time, so forth and so on, and all that business there. Do you know that this Bible teaches us over in the book of Colossians in chapter number 3 that we're to forbear one another in love? There's going to be some things you've got to put up with if you're going to serve God acceptably in the church of the living God. I mean, there you are. You know, some of you might get offended because I'm thinking they're going to do a colonoscopy and find a crack in my wife's spine somewhere. And I thought to myself, my word, if it's colonoscopy, you're going to have to find a crack somewhere. Well, I meant in the spine. You see what I'm talking about? Now, some people can't handle that kind of stuff, and because you're a fuddy-duddy, that's why. You know what would do good, more good than anything? A merry heart, the Bible said, doeth good like a medicine. And every now and again, you're just going to have to look at yourself and realize, no, we are what we are by the grace of God. Listen, if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell right now. You'd be there with me too. But thank God for the grace of God and the mercy of God that's been bestowed upon us. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that whenever you deal with the church. Now, I brought up my wife, you know, all that business there. And you know the reason I like things to run as smooth as I possibly can within our own family? She's already had two cancer operations. You know what needles and bothers cancer? Stress. If I wanted to be able to crawl you about something, I'd certainly not crawl those family here who's family member and love and wife and mama and grandma and whatever you call you, you know. I don't want to cause any more stress on her. See what I'm talking about? I don't want to cause in the church of the living God a division or hinder anybody that I may need to get a hold of God in my behalf. See the difference? But if you're not careful, you'll forget about who the church of the living God is, about being the bride of Christ. And you better be careful about how you treat the bride of Christ. And let me tell you right now is when you bring trouble to the house of God, it's because you've got a problem you didn't know how to fix. And let me tell you right now is that whenever you look at yourself and you look at your life, what is it we're going to take to be able to get it fixed? Now, we've got some people that I guarantee you that were full of hell and they couldn't be fixed. They're gone. You understand that? Anything they've got. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. You got a problem, we can get it fixed with God if you've got a willingness to. I had a person tell me one time, well, I can tell you the next time there's a little trouble, a little bubble and all that right there, it's going to be the last time for me. Well, you might as well leave now. Because I guarantee you right now is we've got some people, I promise you, that if the devil knocks on the door, they'll open up and let them in. When you go home, you ought to try to do something to get your business straightened up with God. Because I don't want to see the Holy Ghost of God be grieved and not deal. You know, you're not going to get a conversion. You know, the reason why there's so many false professions is because they bowed their head and repeated a prayer without the Holy Ghost of God drawing them by. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit which sent me draw him. I certainly want to be able to get it straightened out for that reason. And Jesus, as they begin to approach him, you know, there's two times when God talked about discord being sowed over in Proverbs 6:19, and two things that God hates, and as a result of that, you'll find, in fact, is it might be three of them, but in chapter number Proverbs, in chapter number 6, there's a passage, you can just listen to it. And here's what he says in chapter number 6 and about verse number 14. Frowardness is in the heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Then about verse number 19 he says, and he says, and a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. These are things God hates. That's why in Proverbs in 3 in verse number 19, you'll find out that God begins to tell us and God begins to move upon us to be able to let us know that these are six things that God hates. And let me tell you right now is you're going to find out is that these are six things in chapter 6, verse 16, that doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to him. Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that swift run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, you want to find out some things God hates? That's them right there. These are six things God hates, and he names them. Now, I want to get down to the closing, the short row, that if you will, please, here this morning. You know, the Bible says, behold how good that it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And all that right there. And let me tell you, it is. It is to be able to do that. Let me tell you right now is that you're going to find out is that Jesus, whenever they begin to accuse him and they begin to want to know, would you? It hurt him worse because they hurt them worse because he didn't answer. And make no mistake about it, sometimes the best answer is the example of Christ, and that's no answer at all. I want to say to you, sometimes people just feel like they need to let off steam. Now, I want to say this, and I don't mean it to be ugly, but I do mean it, and it is ugly. Sometimes it's a man. His wife whipped him down so many times at home, he's going to be strong somewhere. I don't mean none of you good men, but you would have thought that I did. Some of you women try to excuse it as a bad time of the month. Well, the next time the month rolls around and you're demon-possessed, just lock yourself in a closet somewhere. I don't mean that to anybody in here. I mean, I know you good women have got it all under control. I want to say to you, if you want to get somebody to accuse you falsely, what you need to do, and of course, as a woman, you can't, but you ought to pastor church. And you know what a cheap way out is for people? Well, I was working on my thoughts. I thought this and I thought that. Well, you got way too much thinking time on your hands. See? I want to say to you that, if you will, division in the body of Christ ought never be so. And I want to tell you, the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 5 and about verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers. I want to tell you what happens is that, let me say it again, problems arise every now and again. I know there's probably some of you that, if you'd be honest, there's been times in all these years that you didn't like me. Kudos to you. There's times I don't like you either. I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, I don't like having to deal with a church problem ever. And I can tell you, I can say that because I've dealt with lots of them. I don't like dealing with family problems ever. But if you're going to have a family, you're going to have to every now and again. And you better be careful. You go to talking about too many people there. You know, I used to get up and I used to tell Miss Courtney here what a blessing, what an asset I said that she is to the Kirkendall family. Of course, she's a Kirkendall by marriage now. And you know what her answer was? I know it. That's good. She does know it. It's good for anybody that can see it. See what I'm talking about? I just said all that to be able to say this. Do you know that the Bible said, let not the sun go down on your wrath? You got a problem with somebody, you ought to take care of it before sundown. And as a result of that, you ought to start thanking God for how good God's been, where He brought you from, where you could have been and would have been had it not been for the grace of God. You see? And I'll tell you what it'll do is it'll make your day brighter, your life brighter. It'll make you enjoy living better all the way up and down the road of life. For some of those folks that could have been still marching and waving the bloodstained banner, they're gone because they drew the line with God, and if it ever happens again. And let me say that to you. I love you dearly. If you're going to let the devil blow you out of the saddle, you might as well get up and get gone, because let me tell you, he's going to as soon as he can. See? My doctor, I went to him one time years ago and didn't feel so hot. He said, well, the first thing that I'd like to be able to say to you is that you're just too hard-headed. I don't know how in the world he can say that about me. My wife? Yeah. Me? How can you say? I said, Doc, I'd like to have a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too. I'd have been better off just went ahead and kept my mouth shut. And I want to tell you every now and again, and I realize and I know that every now and again that we just need to vent a little bit and blow steam and so forth and on. All I'm just trying to tell you is you ought to be careful about the household of faith. Because you are talking about the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for letting us come together like this. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that say, preacher, I need something real from the hand and from the heart of God. I don't want to walk away from here grieving the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to be able to be on my best behavior before God, that he can find me busily occupied about his business when he comes again, and that I be not ashamed at his appearing. We want to say thank you, Lord, in advance for all you've done and for all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray.